So we engage the day after Christmas, right? This isn't just the Sunday after Christmas. This is the literal day after Christmas. And oftentimes, I don't know about you, but this day is characterized by coming down a little bit, right? We've been kind of building up and building up and building up. We're beginning to think about that post-Christmas cleanup. Just thinking, right? I know some of you, 7 o'clock last night, you had it all down and wrapped up and back in the attic, right? And then there's some of us who, by the 7th, are going to do our best to have it all taken down. But that's the season, right? It's kind of the coming down part. Even faith-wise, we've spent an entire month on this journey to Advent. And we arrived, didn't we? We made it. But now it kind of feels like the shepherds who, they go, they see the child, and then they leave rejoicing, but where are they going? Back to the fields. Back to where they were before all this began. And yet the real invitation of Christmas is not to arrive, right? It's an invitation that moves us now to seek and find Christ all year long, all year long. And that's exactly what we're looking at in our text this morning. But the seeking and finding, it's a little unique in our text, and yet it moves us to do the same thing. And so this morning, we're in the lectionary text that follows up Christmas. We're in Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 41 through 52, and we're going to go look for Jesus. So if you want to join in the Bible, in your pew Bible, it's page 833. We'll put it up on the screen as well. It begins Luke 2, verse 41. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Well, why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, as we come into your word this day after Christmas, much like Mary and Joseph, we are on this continuous journey of finding you, discovering you over and over in places anew. And Lord, we pray that this morning, that as we dig into your word, you would stir in our hearts through the power of your Spirit this deep desire, this deep incompleteness that we have without you. Lord, help us. It's in your name we pray, Christ. Amen. I remember as a kid, went to this big birthday party. It was a big birthday party. The people throwing it, you know, big field, trees everywhere. They're holding it outside. And we decided that we were going to play this big game of hide and seek. It's a great place to do it. And growing up, I didn't hit my growth spurt until right before high school. So I was always a little guy. And when you're a little guy, Hide and seek is where you shine in the world, right? I mean, that's where you've got to make a name for yourself. And I knew that. And so we get ready to play, and I am looking not just for a good spot, I'm looking for the best spot. And I'm looking, and I see this group of white pines off in the distance. And I'm thinking, bingo. I start running down, getting to those white pines. I climb, and I climb, and I climb, and I keep climbing. I get way up in the top of this tree. And it's perfect. It's perfect. And I'm watching this happen down below. You know, all the kids are getting found. And as they get found, they join in and seeking. And I can see it all happening. But I am just as still as the world. I'm balancing on a limb, holding on to this thing, covered in sap, sweating. But I didn't care. I knew I had a great spot, and I wasn't going anywhere. And as I kept watching, I realized that there were less and less people looking. But I had a spot. I wasn't going anywhere. Until I realized there was nobody looking. But I waited a little bit longer just in case. And finally, I thought, I'm going to go down and see what's happening. And so I got down and I went out and I realized all the kids were now playing a totally different game. I was like, what? Apparently, they gave up looking for me. And I was so far off, I never even heard them say the game's over. And you'd think, in that moment, I might have been a little crushed, right? A little hurt, a little wounded. But I wasn't. Because in my mind, my adolescent mind, I had come to the conclusion that I had outhid an entire birthday party, and I was therefore coronated the king of hide and seek. And that's the end of the story. Doesn't faith kind of feel like that sometimes? That we're pursuing this God who loves to play that same game, you know? Jesus, the king of hide and seek. That whether it's in faith in general or it's just, or seasons, it feels like no matter how hard you're trying, God's nowhere to be found. And yet we know Scripture tells us otherwise, don't we? Quite the opposite. Matthew 7, for instance, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who searches, finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Boy, that sounds so opposite, doesn't it? To a God who's saying, find me if you can. Right? Revelations 3 has a very similar passage. Here I am, says the Lord. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, just opens the door, I'll come in and eat with that person and they with me. Those are incredible promises, amen? I will, not I might, or knock louder, or peek your head in and see if you can see me in the dark. I will. We're not in pursuit of a God who desires to hide from us or wait until we're worthy enough to see him. Quite the opposite. He stands ready for us. And it is a pursuit that is worthy of our very lives. And so once again, our text is a little bit of a different story about finding Jesus, right? And yet there, I think, are some wonderful truths that we see about the person of Jesus as he's even developing as an adolescent. And the first thing I think we see here is when you commit to seeking Jesus with your life, you will find him, but sometimes you're going to find him in places you didn't expect, right? Our text tells us that Mary and Joseph, they've just had the whole family up traveling to Jerusalem for Passover. Jesus is 12 years old here, and that's an important age. That's that coming to age of a Jewish boy. And so as they're returning, it wouldn't have been so odd if he was still hanging out with the women and the children. That's where all his friends are. Or he might have wanted to go hang out with the men. Now I'm traveling back with the guys. I'm a guy. And so needless to say, they leave. And our text says that assuming that he was in the group of travelers, his parents, went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. I'm going to be very honest. I cannot read this text anymore without having this slight panic in me. For those of you who remember the old Home Alone movie, it's the mother in my head going, Kevin! Right? It just, where is my kid? Where is my kid? That panic hits me. And I don't know what Mary and Joseph were thinking here. Doesn't tell us. I'm just guessing. I'm just guessing. Panic set in. Where's my kid? Where's my kid? And it goes without saying the game was afoot because they realize he's not here. It's time to go find Jesus. And so they turn around and start going all the way back to Jerusalem. When you really commit yourself to seeking Jesus, you will find him, but sometimes in places you didn't expect. And such is the moment here, because where did they find him? In the temple. Yeah. After 3 days, If you lose your kid in Walmart for 3 minutes, it's terrifying. 3 days. They found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. That is not normal. Asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. As believers, when we really do commit ourselves to seeking Jesus, we're going to find him in places we don't expect. But this happens when our pursuit of Jesus is more than the Sunday morning endeavor or just the devotional endeavor. It's, once again, it's a pursuit worthy of our lives. A little over 2 weeks ago, I was in the hospital, totally knocked out, having my little surgery. And my wife is in the waiting room. And this is a bit of a wait. And so she's sitting there and sees this lady sitting next to her. Looks a little anxious. And so Rebecca, if you don't know, Rebecca's very kind and very sweet. I don't sing her accolades from the pulpit because she gets angry at me. But she's very kind and very sweet. And she leans over to this woman, just inquire how you're doing. And just to kind of minister to her. And once again, Jesus shows up often in places that you don't expect. And that's exactly what happened here, but not in the way she was expecting. Because as she began to talk with this woman and go back and forth, the question came up, well, what does your husband do? Now, I'm going to tell you, when the answer to that question of what do you do or what does your spouse do is they're a pastor, you just grow used to the conversation ending right there. I feel like, okay. But Rebecca, he's a pastor. And then she says, well, I'm in ministry too. And what transpired at that moment was something totally different. This woman begins ministering to Rebecca and just encouraging her. And then she's just, and it is as casual as can be, just starts speaking these words over our kids. She does not know our children. Never met them a day in our life. These words could not have been more spot on. I kid you not. If you've ever heard the term, you know, so-and-so read my mail, that lady was reading our mail. She was speaking words over them, same words that we had wondered and prayed over our own kids. And Rebecca comes out of that moment and just did not expect that. When you pursue Jesus, you're going to find him. Sometimes you're going to find him in places you don't expect. And we get home, you know, and I'm in that stupor of, you know, we just brought you out of anesthesia. You're alive. Great. Go home. And we get home and and she's like, you would not believe what happened in the waiting room. And she was excited, as she should be. Sometimes Jesus shows up in places you didn't expect him. Friends, that's part of following Jesus, pursuing Jesus, looking for Jesus with our lives, that he does show up. And it goes both ways. Sometimes he blesses us in ways that I had no idea that was coming. And then sometimes he uses us to bless others. Amen. Even it might have just happened where you're at a family dinner over the season, or a family member or a friend. They're the kind that just, they really never have anything to do with the faith. And then they give you this beautiful, vulnerable moment that you get to minister into. And you cherish it, right? They're sweet. They're wonderful. And yet they're the kind of moments that if you don't have the eyes to look for Jesus all the time, you miss him. When you pursue Jesus with your life, you will find him. But sometimes you're going to find him in places you did not expect. Another thing that can happen when you commit to seeking Jesus with your life is that he may surprise you with what he says when you find him. Upon finding Jesus, our text says, verse 48, that when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" That's 12-year-old Jesus, by the way, saying that. I'm going to go out on a limb here and make a guess. That was not the answer Mary was expecting. I don't know about you all in your childhood. If you would have come home late and your parents said, "Where have you been?" The answer is, "Well, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I needed to be home later than expected?" That did not fly in my house growing up. I don't imagine it would in yours as well. And yet sometimes Jesus does this very same thing with each of us. Part of searching for Christ is knowing that he's going to say things from time to time that catch us off guard, catch us by surprise, convicts us in ways we didn't expect to be convicted that day, because he brings the kingdom of God perspective into our lives, right? It's the old saying, Jesus loves you right where you are, but he loves you enough to not let you stay there. Amen? Jesus is always calling us to deeper sanctification, deeper relationship. And so committing to seek Jesus with our lives means that we're willing to receive unexpected words from Christ, especially those which challenge us. Are we willing to let Jesus speak into our lives, especially in the places we prefer him to stay out, right? Those are the very ones he likes to sneak into and say, "I want to highlight something here. Please don't highlight that. No, I'm going to. Because when we commit to seeking Jesus with our lives, he may surprise you with what he says, but he does it for good reasons. And if we're willing to receive those, then we find ourselves in this last point. After the discussion, the adolescent Jesus, he goes with his parents, and we get this strange line about Mary. It takes us back to the Christmas story. If you recall, you read the Christmas story over the last couple days. What did Mary do while the shepherds were telling her about all the things the angel said? Do you remember? She treasured and she pondered. And here, after the stress of losing their son, 3 days of trying to find him, and finally this odd moment of reconnection, our text says his mother treasured. She treasured all these things. Why did she treasure them? Once again, it's not the response that I was thinking would come when you read these with fresh eyes. But what happened here? My opinion, Mary had an encounter with Jesus. Not her son Jesus, the Lord and the Messiah Jesus. You know, she heard what he was saying. She heard the answer. She saw, walked into a room of these people who are just salivating over what he's saying, astonished at his words, questioning the teachers themselves. And when you're a parent, your kid's always your kid. You can't change that, whether they're born of the Holy Spirit or not. But when Mary's there, she has this moment where the relationship with Christ deepens in a way that it was never deepened simply as his mother. That in spite of all that she went through, she has a real taste of the Lord. And she treasures it. She treasures it, right? The difference between Christmas and this moment. In Christmas, she's treasuring all that's being said about her son. But in this moment, she's treasuring all that's being said by her son. You know, there's a lot of scholars that ask, why did Luke put this in his gospel? And there's a lot of answers that people try to understand why that's here. But instead of focusing on that question, I want to go back to the question that Mary asked. Child, why have you treated us like this? Did he answer? I think he did. I think he did. It doesn't look like it, but I think he did. And I think this is the answer. And it's our third and final point, that when you commit to seeking after Jesus with your life, he'll be right where he desires to be, and you will be right where he desires you to be. And the answer to Mary's question, why have you treated us like this, is because I'm supposed to be in my Father's house, and you're supposed to encounter me here, like this, right now, to know me in this way. I want you to see me as the Lord. How does she not walk away from treasuring that, right? Think about the first moment you encountered Jesus as Lord. He's your Lord. It hits you. Whether you grew up in the faith or you came to it later in life, that first moment where you knew Jesus loves me. He loves me right where I'm at. He doesn't say, get up here, find me first, and then maybe we'll talk about a relationship. But it's that moment that you realize, as much as you've been pursuing what you think is a good life, Jesus meets you because he's been pursuing you your whole life. And we have these moments over and over where Jesus finds us afresh. And all you can do is treasure it. It's too good. It's too good. Brothers and sisters, when you commit to searching for Jesus with your life, you're going to find him in places you didn't expect. Whew. And it can be exciting at times. He's also going to say things to you sometimes that you didn't expect, but they lead to life. But finally, you're going to find Jesus right where he desires to be and right where he desires you to be. And I cannot think of anything better than to be right at the center of God's purposes in our lives. Amen? So what is Christmas for you this year? Is it the end of the search for Christ? Or does it mark the beginning for this whole next year of finding Jesus in places each day in different ways, growing and knowing and treasuring who he is? Are we willing to commit to letting this be the beginning? If so, I'm going to pray for us. And I just want to invite you this morning to just offer that to him in your own words. Jesus, I want this to be day one of this year, of finding you in fresh and new ways. I want to follow you as your disciple. Let's pray. Christ, what else can be said that has not been said through song and prayer this morning? And your word. You saved us. You saved us. You found us. And we thank you. Lord, in our own words, we just commit now to giving each day for the next year in pursuit of you. We want to see you in unexpected places, and we'd like to see you in some expected ones as well. Lord, we're willing to hear your words of encouragement and your words of conviction and be shaped by them. And Father, most of all, we want to find ourselves right in the center of what you're doing. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray, Christ. Amen.